Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's what this is all about. And the guy who's going to be doing some sharpening on the other side of the desk here is Dave.
Thanks, Charles.
Is that all you have to say?
I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to be here. Okay.
As always.
You're so much taller. You got that seat all the way up. You look like a giant.
I wish my seat at home at my desk was this tall.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, good to have you. We have a topic today that many of you guys kind of looked at it and probably said something about self-gratification, but we're going to talk about masturbation. Yeah,
yes.
The one that nobody ever wants to talk about every now and
then. That's right.
But anyway, we're going to be chatting about that sort of thing. But we always like to kind of kick things in a little bit with a little bit of encouragement for you guys who are listening today. And, Dave, you're always coming up with something. And today, you know, it's not – I'm going to take you off the hook.
That's,
you know,
good. I couldn't think of anything.
You couldn't think
– no.
Seriously?
You know, something could come along, but, yeah, it's like
– But here's the deal. You know, one of the things I think is so important is to realize how important it is for our families, our wives, our children, to be able to hear from us as their father, as their husband, okay, as their uncle or whomever, whatever that influence that you have with that family member in your life, okay? Some of you may be separated and divorced away from your family. Okay, but one of the things that you can always do, yes, you're going to think, oh, prayer. You're going to just say prayer. Yes, that's an automatic. Brother, we should always be doing that. We ought to be praying for our families all the time and with them and for them, okay? But one of the things I think is so important is that we communicate how we feel about them and how important they are to us. See, here's the thing. My Bible reminds me that we are but a vapor. We are here one moment, and you guys have all seen it. You've seen a steam plant or any place where there's steam that comes out of a pipe of some sort. You see that cloud there, right? And against the blue sky or whatever, you see it clearly. And within a few seconds, even less than a minute, depending on how large it is, it's gone. It dissipates, you know.
That's our life.
And that's our life. And that's what takes place here. And so often we take for granted, I do, take for granted that I'm going to be here tomorrow or I'm going to be here next week or I'll experience next holidays, you know, whatever it might be. Or maybe even this summer. I have no idea. You know, I'm always reminded, and maybe it's because of the situation that I'm in and maybe it's my age. I don't know. But I've been attending, every time I attend a funeral, it is not necessarily, I mean, what it always does for me is reminds me of how we are just here just a short period of time.
Yeah.
You know? And you never know when it is that you may end up seeing someone or speaking to them for the last time. Something may happen in their life. Something may happen in your life to where you aren't able to communicate.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you walk around mourning and crying and, oh, I may never see you again. No, that's not what it's about. What it's about is letting them know, what is the last thing you really want somebody to remember you for? What is the last thing you're going to say to them, you know, this day that may be the last thing you ever say to them? Okay. So, I mean, there have been times I catch myself when I'm leaving the house. I tell my wife, say, swear I'm leaving. I'll see you later. And okay. And sometimes I'll come right back inside and walk upstairs and give her that kiss and say, hey, just want to say I love you. You know, these are the things I'm encouraging you for to do, to put into application. And the more often that you do it, the more it becomes automatic. And the more you realize just how short this life really is. And we have no control over it. Okay. And there you go. There's my encouragement. I don't know if that's worth anything or not. So.
No, it was, hey, that was good for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, don't you come over here and try to kiss me goodbye. Because no. That ain't going to happen, brother. All right. Well, I tell you what, let's segue right into something here that I think that is always been a hush-hush thing. This is one of the things that, you know, in this ministry, since we've been doing this as it began as a Bible study, is that we talked about men's issues, and we talk only to men, okay, primarily. We know that some women listen in, the stealthy women, and that's fine, but we talk primarily to men. And so what it comes down to is that this is something that a lot of guys just, oh, I don't want to talk about that. Don't bring that up. You know, that's not, you know, I don't want to even know about it. I don't want to hear about it. But then every now and then you get someone who is courageous enough to bring it up and say something. But we bring it up a lot. We talk about this sort of thing because it's self-gratification. It's masturbation. Is it a sin? Is it not a sin?
Right.
Is it something that is just when we're younger, when we have more of testosterone that's taking place in our lives and it dissipates by the time we're old? No, you know, what is it, you know, about this that causes such a hassle for us? And I, you know, and we could almost kick off anywhere there, but maybe you have an idea of how you wanted to talk about this.
Well, to first answer the question, is masturbation a sin? Mm-hmm. And, you know, this, as I was sharing with you earlier, the thought came to me a couple days ago, and I was thinking about it, and then I was on the internet this morning, and one of the top 20 questions for Christians that are sought out on the internet is masturbation a sin?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from what I've read, nowhere specifically does it say exactly that masturbation is a sin, but there's so many examples in Scripture that says that gratifying the flesh and is a sin when it comes to sexual contact and, you know, fornication and pornography. And for a lot of men, you can't do, you know, they kind of go hand in hand, you know, mm-hmm. masturbation and pornography and lust. And, you know, I think one of the questions was, you know, that came to my mind is this: glorifying God. Is what you're doing glorifying God?
Yeah. Well, let's go first from the start, because you know we want to try to hit every area here, okay? Because it talks about in the Bible different things that you might think it has something to do with masturbation. There's that one in Genesis 38 where Onan, okay, his brother had died in war or something.
Yep.
He had his, and now he's going to fulfill what the law says by being with his brother's wife, because he's not married.
Yes.
And, of course, he talks about the semen pulling out, in a sense, and then letting it go to the ground so that. Well, what ended up taking place, that whole thing is not about masturbation. He's with someone else.
Yep.
Okay. With, I think they got married. I don't recall the story precisely. But my point is that God actually took his life because
he didn't follow through on the command.
He didn't follow through on the command,
yes.
On the law,
yep.
On what was supposed to be taking place, so that his brother would have his name carried on, okay? And that's the whole purpose for it. And then, of course, there's the other one where it talks about in Matthew 5:27, right?
Yes.
And do you have that one?
Yeah, I do. Jesus speaks against having lustful thoughts and then says, is it... if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. While there are parallels between the passage and masturbation,
mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus wasn't talking about that,
right?
You know, right. But, you know, it's the, it's the purpose of what he's talking right. about is what's causing you to sin and to stop it.
Exactly.
You know,
and here's the deal. It's all part of, you know, masturbation. I remember the very first time I found out about it and realized this, and I was just going into high school, and I'm sitting there and the PE coach talked about it, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, man, this is kind of weird. And, I wasn't around anyone that talked about this, had feelings and stuff that took place in my body. I'm sitting there going, what is that? Woke up with a flagpole every morning. Why is that happening?
Yep.
My dad was not one that shared anything about why those things took place in my life. So what's the guy do? Well, you go ask your friend. Or maybe you don't ask. You just kind of ask them, have you ever, or you ask them, you know. So it doesn't look like you're experiencing it, right? You know?
Yes.
So you're not made fun of, and if case not, you're the only one that's ever done
yes.
that or felt that way, right? And as a result of that, you end up getting a lot of wrong information.
Yeah.
Okay? And of what takes place and everything. And I'll never forget the feeling of the very first time that took place in my life. It was like, wow. I mean, it's like, what a feeling. Right. And then, of course, you know, as a youth, you know, you just, man, that's all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and I read that between for the ages of 18 and 19 year olds for men, mm-hmm. it's 81% of youth are, you know, experimented already or yes. are experimenting, where in females it's 60%. Mm-hmm. So it is quite, you know. I don't know if it's an epidemic, but it is, you know, at that age of youth, mm-hmm. it's more prevalent. And, you know, that's, we're here to answer some of those questions.
Yeah.
You know, is this right for you? Is it right for honoring yourself, honoring God? And one of the things that I have here is there are some biblical principles that can be applied to the issue of masturbation. And Ephesians 5:3 declares, among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to see how masturbating can pass this particular test.
Right.
You know, because we're supposed to hold ourselves pure mm-hmm. and before the Lord. And so that, you know, that's the question I want to answer for the person that's out there. You know, that because we can justify and run around, okay, is this really,
yeah.
you know, a sin or not?
Right. Well, you know, but the impurity, that would be more for your body and everything. And really what it comes down to is in masturbation is that, first of all, you're going to have either pictures in front of you that are going to excite you. They usually have to do with women, okay, and that are either no clothes on or whatever, but anyway, there's this thought of having sex with this woman, okay? And that's what gets this thing fired up of,
yep.
of wanting to release in a certain sense, okay? And so what ends up taking place is that the more often that you view pornography, okay, the more that you desire to masturbate,
mm-hmm.
okay? Now, so the actual act of masturbation is just a normal thing. It's not a sin. Where the sin comes in is in the thought and what leads up to the masturbation. Because nowhere in the Bible have I found anything that says anything about that masturbation itself is a sin. But right. it's what leads up to that.
Yes.
Okay. That is the sinful part. And then all of a sudden, the in Ephesians 5 that you talked about here, that our bodies are not ours. They are the temple of the Lord's.
Yes, that's right.
You know, and I am to keep that pure and to honor God as a result of that.
Yes.
And when I am not, when I'm sitting there thinking and or looking at something that is immoral, all right, then all of a sudden I take action on that sort of thing. And before I know it, I'm sitting there once again, here it is.
Yes, that's okay? right.
And I don't know about anybody else, but I used to feel pretty, not just guilty, it felt like after I was done, it was like, okay, now what? You know, now what? You know?
Yeah.
It just didn't feel, I mean, it's like, okay, I guess I'll just wait until the next time.
Yes.
You know, and you go from there and you go about
it. A revolving circle.
It is. Yeah. And it's just over and over and over again.
Okay? Yeah. Well, and going to what you said about what's in your mind and your thoughts, and it starting with lust. Webster's defines lust as an intense and bridled sexual desire or a crave, you know, and so it snowballs from there.
Yes.
And then the other thing I have here is sexual idolatry, and Webster's defines that as immoderate attachment or devotion to something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a revolving door, and, you know, I've had my issues in the past with pornography, and, you know, it's until the cycle is broken, it's just, you know, it just keeps going and going, and, you know, it's a struggle. I think it separates you from the Lord, and...
Well, I mean, you're talking about a feeling that you end up that feels good. Okay.
Yep.
It's self-gratifying. There's no doubt. And it was something that, as a part of our lives, that we sit there, why wouldn't something this good feel this good? It's not hurting anybody. I'm not in bed with another woman or, you know, with anybody else. And now and it's just me alone, with my own thoughts, not hurting anybody. Okay. But there is something that takes place as a result of that that starts to change our idea, our thinking about the process, because it's a thing called conviction that ends up taking place, especially after having a relationship that we've started with the Lord.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
And going from there. But let's take a break right now. We're going to come back to this and, of course, and continue talking as to why and why wouldn't we and how come it still bothers me and why is this. We'll talk about more of this sort of thing on the self-gratification. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven, or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at CascadeMonuments.com.
Rise up and honor you. I'll testify to the good you do. 'Cause your grace and your mercy have overtaken me. So even if it gets me convicted, I'll be on my knees with my hands lifted. If serving you's against the law, man.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Dave and Raul in the studio talking about things that most places, most internet shows aren't going to talk about. You're definitely not going to hear very much about it from the pulpit.
Yeah,
if you do,
right.
Praise God that you have a pastor that is willing to bring this up to the men. You might hear it at a men's conference, but even then, sometimes it may or may depend, again, on those who are actually putting something like that together. But here, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And this thing, as we were sharing here before, even where in the articles that you've looked through and I've looked through also, there's nothing in Scripture that says masturbation is wrong, is bad itself, is sinful itself. But what is sinful is what takes place to that point.
Yes.
You use the one in Matthew where it says that, hey, if your eyes, you know, if they're actually impure, that you gouge them out. If your hand does something sinful, you cut it off. God is using these metaphors to be able to give us, this is how important it is that he wants us to be holy, because he is holy.
Yes.
Okay? And he wants us to strive to be perfect, because he is perfect. Okay? This is why he created us. And when... just as a father would look at, on their children, that might look at my son is stealing. I can't believe it. I see him stealing that candy bar, putting it in his pocket. It bothers us, mm-hmm. just like it bothers the father to see us sin. Okay? And saying, wait a minute, this is not what you're here for, you know?
Yeah, that's, yeah. I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, what you're saying on that and what leads up to it.
Yes.
You know, the images that, you know, we put in our mind, because we've all struggled with, you know, pornography at some point, masturbation, the images, the gratifications that come up. Like you say, there's nothing defining that says, you know, it is a sin. Like, you know, the Bible talks about fornication, but if you look at all the things that lead up mm-hmm. to it,
right.
you know, the images in your mind, you know, you may not actually be physically looking at a photo of a naked woman or something, but you can put those images in your mind,
yeah.
and they lead you on to self-gratification. And
let's go back a little bit further than just before the images and all that come up. There's a feeling of something that needs to take place. It's kind of described a little bit about the first time that I heard about masturbation. I heard it, you know, from a high school PE coach.
Right.
Talking to all the guys saying, okay, this, you know, and anyway, he went on in a crude way of saying certain things. And I didn't know about certain things, so I started checking it out myself. Said, whoa, what is this? I got to tell you, honestly, my very first time that I ever masturbated, I was not thinking of anything sexual because I didn't know about that.
Right.
Okay. I wasn't sure exactly what was, anyway, so, but my point being is that we're created beings. Men are created so that we would be able to have, to give to the woman who is the receiver, okay, and in this case here, the sperm.
Right.
She's the incubator. She's the one that allows it to grow, okay? That's a birth. That's a child. Okay, who she will eventually give birth to. That's the whole reason and purpose. God wanted us to enjoy sex. He created sex to be enjoyable between husband and wife.
That's correct, yes.
That's what it's all about, okay? He says, I love you, and the two of you came together in my name and make a covenant of actually saying we're going to be wed together. And we're going to create a family and do exactly. And as it talks about in the Old Testament, this is what we are to teach our children, to be able to know what the Lord, what the law of the Lord is, and to be able to follow that.
Yes.
Okay. And in doing so, the Lord blessed us with sex. I mean, to be able to enjoy it with your wife. That's what it was intended for. But the way the world is, it gets misinterpreted and gets misused, misguided, and we end up with all these young boys whose dads, nobody ever taught them or told them, why is it that my penis, why is this thing hard in the morning? Why
right.
does it look like a stick? You know, what's going on?
Yep.
You know, what is, you know.
No one explains
nobody
to you,
explains
that,
it,
you know,
right?
the functions of the body.
So you got all these things that are going on in your body, and you... So you go to your friends to find out, and they start, you hear all the lies and everything else, and they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know any more than you do.
Right.
They say they do, you know, like anything else, but that's not necessarily the truth. It might have been, but, and bless the men who did have a father who did explain that sort of thing and express that maybe to other guys so that they would know. And maybe they understood.
Yeah.
Praise God that that sort of thing took place.
Well, we're talking about understanding, mm-hmm. and there's, you know, we're really, us men do not understand, you know, God created us. I mean, he gave us these feelings. He created us with the desire, and how do you apply that in a godly way?
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
You're talking about marriage.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And God created and designed us that way, mm-hmm. and not to fall into the lust and, you know, to gratify ourselves.
Right.
So, you know, it's a wonderful thing that God has given us.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know from a very young age because we're not taught. Like
right.
you're saying,
right.
what's going on?
Yep.
You know,
yep.
I look back when I was a kid, and even as a, you know, sitting in the desk at school,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of a sudden you're like, what's going on here? You know, and, you know, next thing you know, you're, you know, sixth grader or seventh grader,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you're
yep.
sitting there and you have an erection and you're, you know, all excited and you're looking at a girl and, you know, and,
right.
you know, never even experienced, you know, sex or anything.
Right.
You know,
right.
but God created us.
Yes.
He knows what, you know, mm-hmm. is going on in our bodies mm-hmm. and testosterone and,
mm-hmm.
and the, you know, growing up and everything.
Right.
And,
right.
and but my communication with my friends at that age mm-hmm. was we would go to the library.
Mm-hmm.
We would never talk about anything like that directly,
yes.
but we would flip through the pages
yes.
to find a naked girl, you know, and then sit there and laugh about
it. Yes.
Yeah. And that was kind of like, oh yeah, this is what, you know, it's like you could relate, you know, the feelings and sensations you had to, you know, a girl. Is kind of like, okay, this is why I'm feeling this way, you know, and,
yes.
and that's where all the imagery comes
yes.
in,
yes.
you know, and, you know, it's just like seeing a beautiful woman walking down the street or something.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, there's a lot of things. It's, you know, tied into what we see and put into our mind.
And what you've experienced, what others have told you. And then all of a sudden, then you try those things or you attempt them. And all of a sudden, wow, this feels good. This is a good thing. And that's why it's so much, you can laugh about it as a kid and even talk about it, say, or this and that, and or then somewhere along the line, it becomes shameful because you heard somebody, an adult or an authority, say, this is wrong. And all of a sudden it's like, ooh. And so maybe
yeah.
it affected you to a certain degree.
Yeah, or you become married and you're still doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
then it's like, well, why am I doing this if I'm married and I have someone that I can, you know, have a relationship with
right.
physically? Why
right.
am I still, you know, going and masturbating,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
it there's got to be a disconnect there.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, there's no doubt, because all of a sudden we're so afraid of being wrong. And I should say I shouldn't generalize in a sense, but I think it kind of goes with all the guys in the sense that we don't want to be wrong. Okay. But we want to feel good. Okay. And yet the feeling good supersedes the feeling wrong
right.
or not good in a sense, right? And I think that's what ends up taking place, where we all of a sudden, this is the sin of the world because of the fallen world, because of what had taken place in the garden, and that the Lord said, hey, this is, okay, you're out of the garden, and you're now temptation is going to have its way
and knock on your door
over and over and over again. So we go about in this life thinking that, hey, what's normal, because everybody else is doing it. We think, oh, it's no big deal, everyone else is doing it. Well, you know, that's where we get into the Word of God, and it talks about certain things, right? In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31, it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Wow. Okay, so now if I really, and that's not very long, and we could actually memorize that before this thing is all over with. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, everything that you do, okay, do all to the glory of God.
Yep.
So if I applied my sin into the glory of God, I'm going to feel conviction. I'm going to feel something that, wait a minute, this is not right. Because the last thing I want to do is be thinking about God while I'm doing this.
Right.
Okay? Because, well, first off, if I'm thinking about God, I'm probably not going to feel like doing it. Right?
That's right, yes.
And you're sitting there going, okay, you know. But it's not so much, again, the act of the masturbation. It's actually the what precedes that, which is what you're talking about before, the lust of the flesh
yeah.
or the eyes. I'm sitting there and looking and imagining and saying, wow, I can't be with this person. That's why when you get, you know, I remember when Playboy magazine was such a big deal, and then all of a sudden as we got older, Sports Illustrated came out once a year with an issue on the swimsuit thing, and they sold more than they've ever sold all year round on Sports Illustrated issues. But there, everybody was buying them.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And you're sitting there and you're looking at a woman that you would never, she would never give you the look at you at all in real life. And you're sitting there and you could actually look at her and have sex with her in your own mind. And in, well, self-gratification.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Well, at a young age, you don't know all those things that they're all working together to lead you up to that.
Yes.
You know, I remember I was probably in seventh grade, and me and a buddy, we were on a baseball team. And one day we went to the baseball fields and walked into one of the dugouts. And, you know, there was no games or anything going on. We were just hanging out. And, you know, everything was all innocent and everything. And we came across like a half dozen, you know, magazines, you know, I mean,
score.
And, yeah. We're like, oh man, I've never seen anything like this. You know, it used to be that they were always behind the counter, you know, and I remember being little and, you know,
you'd try look, to look,
you try to look and stuff.
Making sure no one's looking at you.
Yeah. And so, you know, then my buddy and I were like, oh, check these out. You know, we took them home.
Yeah.
You know, we were all excited. We thought that was pretty cool.
Did you carry them or did you put them in your jacket?
I probably put them in our jacket, yeah. You know, you just knew, well, you know, you didn't want your mom's friend seeing you carrying them down the street, you know, while you're walking home.
You know, funny that all these different, we think of the different experiences like that. My very first one was where a cousin of mine stole a Playboy from behind in a grocery store. Because in the grocery store in Arizona, they had the liquor portion there. And that's where they sold these magazines, right? And they're in plastic or whatever.
Yes, yeah.
Anyway, and he stole one of them, ran out, and I was in the back of the building. And anyway, we had we're looking at it, going, oh man! And I had never seen anything quite like that. You know, we have images in our mind. We take pictures of everything in our head. That's why sometimes we don't need a magazine in front of us.
Yeah.
We have enough pictures in our head. We don't need that.
That's right.
But, you know, this thing was so valuable to us is that we actually took out a brick. It was a brick building. We took the mortar out, the hard mortar, okay, and took this quarter piece of brick out. And there was a hole that we could actually put this in there, wound it up or, you know, tighten it up, and then let it expand in there, and it didn't fall, and so we could always go back to it. Doggone, somebody stole that thing.
Oh, geez. Yeah. They're probably watching you.
I think it was my cousin who ended up doing it, actually. I think he did it. But anyway, my point being is that all of a sudden we get to that place where all of a sudden we realize that, hey, this becomes something that we look forward to doing.
Yeah.
Because it felt so good. And it's not hurting anybody. It doesn't cost me anything. And all of a sudden it's like it's all right. You know?
Yeah. And it seems it starts off innocent,
yep,
but then it leads to more and becomes actually an idol or, you know, something that is controlling us. And, you know, there's, you know, you read about it all the time, you know, that you hear stories out there in the paper, you know, someone will be doing a lewd act somewhere and it is an issue. It's a challenge for men. It's a sexual struggle. And, you know, that's why we're here talking about it.
Yep. It leads to so many different things. Well, let's take another break here. Let's take our last break, and then we'll come back and we'll continue talking about this thing. I'm going to give you a scripture before we go right to the break here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Or do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city,
StarTouch broadband services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. Dave and Raul, we're in the latter moments of the show here talking about self-gratification, about masturbation, whether it's a sin or not, and what is wrong with this sort of thing. And, you know, once again, it's like anything else. The Lord Jesus lets us know in Matthew about the things that we need to be aware of and how our eyes will look upon things a certain way and lust. Okay, and that our hands, that we end up doing things with our hands that are sinful and stuff. And so, you know, and he goes about not to be taken literally, but these things are meant to say, this is what you need to change here. You need to almost act as if you need to gouge out your eyes or cut your hand off type of thing. And, but, you know, it's about following our Lord, and that's what we're attempting to do as disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ, that we go through a period of sanctification after we accept him as our Savior and Lord, that there are certain things, that we're a new creation in Christ each and every day, that it is a process. Yes, it is a process. And when we become mindful of something, that's when we sometimes in our head, we want to justify something so that we can continue doing it, saying, oh, I'm not perfect yet. I'm not perfect yet. So, you know, we're all sinners. No, no. When we start trying to justify our behavior, brother, you're way beyond this not perfect thing. You're intentionally sinning.
Yes.
Okay? You're intentionally sinning against what you know, what God has said, stay clear of. Okay? I used the other one already of talking about, anyway, there's this one in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. You know, there's something that we need to know, that this stuff does not come from God. It had intended, we had talked about it before, what God had intended for us to have these feelings and of being able to feel this good feeling of having an orgasm and everything, is meant to be with your wife, okay? So that you would enjoy being with her and you guys can enjoy life. That's one of the promises, one of the things that he's given us.
Yeah.
Okay? But we miss... The enemy has taken what God had meant for good to try to destroy us.
Yeah, and I believe that, you know, what can seem innocent, you know, you're sowing to your flesh.
Yes.
And I have in my notes here, is masturbation without lust or sexual adultery wrong? And then, you know, I have here that... God commands his followers to sow to the Spirit's desires and not to the flesh. And masturbation clearly sows to the flesh and its desires. And in Romans 8:12, Paul says, so then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit... you put to death the deeds of the body,
yes,
you will live.
Yes.
And, you know, the purpose of, you know, us talking about this, bringing it up, is that, you know, it is a bondage. It mm-hmm. does cause men to stumble. It carries you to another place outside of the Spirit of God and mm-hmm. in fellowship with mm-hmm. the Lord. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that come in and reinforce that, you know,
yes.
the desire.
Yes.
Yes. You know, God created us to, like you said, you know, He created that to be used between a man and a woman through marriage
right.
and
right.
through that sanctification and that, right. that you know, beautiful thing He's created.
Right.
But, you know, like you were saying, the world comes in, distorts the whole view. It becomes a self-pleasurable gratification.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, it just leads to other things. You yes. know, it leads to having relationships outside of marriage.
Yes.
Yes. And you get in that cycle of justifying your sin,
right.
and then all of a sudden you think you can't get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is, you know, God provides us, you know, with His Spirit to live mm-hmm. free from that bondage,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and He doesn't want us to be controlled, you know, by that.
Yes.
It's a handicap.
Yes.
You know, and He wants us to be free from the sin is what He wants us to be free from.
And as a result of seeking Him and seeking to do His will in our lives, we end up actually seeing the results of that when we attempt that, because He wants us to be able to conform to what He so desires. Okay? In Romans 12:2, a lot of us know this already. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And you can only do that through His word, okay?
Yes.
And that's why you test everything. You know, He wants us to be not conformed to the world, the way that we need to be looking different, acting different, being different than everybody else. Yes, we can be like everybody so that we can attract people toward us because we interact with people in the world, but we don't do the same things that they do.
Yeah.
Okay? And it doesn't mean that we have to stand out. And so, but here's the deal. The fact is that the Lord wants us to be able to not only talk about living a different life, but He wants us to live that life.
Yes.
Okay? Walk your talk. Okay? Don't just sit here talking about it and saying, oh, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and then giving an excuse of, oh, I'm just not perfect. No, if you're aware of something, brother, there's something that needs to change. And how do you change that sort of thing? Well, first, there has to be a conviction. And if there's a conviction on your mind, first and foremost, that's what you need to pay attention to.
Yes.
You may not feel like wanting to stop doing it, but you know what? Now you ask the Lord for the power, for the courage to allow the changes to take place.
Yes, that's right.
That you want, Lord.
Yeah.
Because, see, until I'm convicted, nothing's going to happen. But when the conviction happens, it comes. Some
yeah.
of you might think, oh, you're just trying to make me feel guilty. No, that's not me. I don't make you feel guilty. Okay? The enemy makes you feel guilty. Okay, by doing certain things, you know, and you feel bad. That's the enemy. He wants you to feel like you're no sense of you going down this trail because you're already a loser. No, that's a lie from the enemy.
That's right.
But what it comes down to, the conviction is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because when you accepted Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, greater is He who's in you than he who's in the world. When we're in sin, that's why we're so uncomfortable. That's why we sweat. We just sit there and go, oh, I feel bad. I don't know what to do. Some guys take that in absurd ways.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they turn away from the Lord completely because they don't ever want to feel that they can't help it. You feel that anyway.
Yeah.
And that's the conviction. That's the Holy Spirit within you.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned this. My wife was telling me yesterday, and we were talking about something. We were talking about bad relationships, actually, and how a rotten apple doesn't make a good apple good.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
A rotten apple spreads through,
mm-hmm.
and when, you know, you're in sin, you know, it's not leading to you to anything good.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
it's,
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
A good apple is a good apple. It doesn't go backwards.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Know, a bad apple, you know, a rotten apple, you know, if you put a good apple next to a rotten apple, it won't make it.
Yeah. It doesn't take long before that one all of a sudden has got the cancer.
Yes.
Also,
so I have here just a little advice, you know, for anybody that's struggling in this area. And one would be to avoid alluring movies, porn videos, highly romantic videos, and anything that would portray women beyond, you know, dressing modestly. You know, there's so many temptations out there today. And learn ways to turn to God when these feelings arise.
Yes.
And ask the Lord to give you strength. You know, he gave us a spirit to overcome, you know, the circumstances that we're in. And don't always give attention to the attractive and fantasy, fascinating things that are out there.
Yes.
You know, those are just a couple things, you know, when you're faced with the feelings and stuff is to put out those images.
One of the things that goes along with what Dave is saying, though, and is so important, because Jesus had emulated what true fellowship is. And that's where we have to kind of somewhere grasp that we are not to do this thing by ourselves. When we do it in fellowship, there ends up being accountability. You also end up realizing that all of a sudden you're not alone in these things. Because you hear from other men who remind you of, in Corinthians, where it talks about that no temptation is going to be beyond whatever you may think that it's unique to you, but you will not. He's not going to give you any more than you can handle with him.
Right.
Okay, in a sense. And God is faithful. Okay, and he's going to show you a way out in every situation. But it's about our sanctification. Once again, brother, it's about what we are truly here for, okay? Yes, there are questions about masturbation, whether it's, hey, for the guys who are in the service or overseas or you're apart from your wife, or maybe your wife has been in an accident and she can't have sex with you for whatever reason. There's a lot of questions on this, but I'm going to tell you this, is that your relationship with Jesus Christ, you will be able to get an answer. He will comfort you. He will give you all that you need. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 3 and 4, and as soon as I'm done with this, I'd like for you to pray for the brothers. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor.
That's a great verse. All right. Well, Jesus, we thank you for this topic. We thank you for providing us, Lord, with insight and being able to share with others regarding this circumstance situation, Lord, and the challenges that we face on a daily basis with masturbation. And Lord, I just pray for any of our listeners that are struggling in this area, that you would just bring them freedom in that and draw them closer to you, and that there is no condemnation in you, Lord. And we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.